Hello, and today we'll be talking with Sophie Harkett, Mohammed Harkett's wife, about Mohammed's situation and as things are developing and stuff like that. So how are you today, Sophie?
I'm all right, considering the situation.
Of course, definitely. Can you give us a brief background of Mohammed Harkett's situation?
Well, he was arrested on December the 10th, 2002, which also happens to be Human Rights Day. He was arrested outside of our apartment while he was taken out of the garbage by... Well, I'd just like to add that because it's so, you know, a normal day when your whole life changes and turn upside down. He was arrested and then was put in jail automatically, was never charged. We've never seen the evidence against him. All we have is a summary of allegation that says, we think, we assume, we believe that in the past, present, or the future, he might be involved in acts of terrorism. And we have just about four allegations, which they think that they did, that he might have done, or he could be doing, or he will do. And we've never had access to the actual evidence, which we haven't been able to cross-examine or actually in an open and fair trial. So he's been locked up for over 3.5 years. And that's, you know, obviously his legal team has been in the dark as much as we have. It's been a big struggle. We've had a lot of ups and downs the past 3.5 years. He was just recently moved to a new facility, which we call Guantanamo North in the Kingston area. And that's something else that I can talk separately, because the men that have been transferred there are very unhappy. Mm-hmm. We've lost a bail decision on December 30th and went back to court, and actually were granted bail on May 23rd, mm-hmm. Under the toughest conditions in Canadian history. And then last week, when I was trying to raise the $35,000 to get him out of jail, the last day of the fundraising efforts, the federal court decided to appeal his bail. So this Friday, we're going to the Federal Court of Appeal for a stay, meaning that will he be granted bail until the appeal is heard, or will he have to stay in? And so this is a very stressful time for us as we are heading to the Supreme Court starting June 13th. Mo's day at the Supreme Court is June 15th. So the lawyers currently are torn between the appeal and the Supreme Court challenge, which is obviously the moment that we've been waiting for 3.5 years. So, you know, overall, that's pretty much what's happening right now.
Well, that's a lot of stuff.
And I forgot to say that he's also on a deportation list. So, I mean, we're the government is taking a position whether or not he faces risk if deported, or if he stays here, what do Canadians face? So he's on a deportation order right now. And so he could be deported within a reasonable time, and he will face torture or death because he's been labeled a presumed terrorist by the Canadian government.
Wow, so that's a lot of stressful stuff going on right
now.
Can you tell me a little bit about what Mohammed Harkett's conditions will be if he actually gets released on bail?
Oh, the list is so long, and it's so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so people know it's very different from Adil Shakawi in Montreal. He will have to wear a monitoring bracelet. That means he's connected via satellite. Then he will have to be monitored 24 hours inside the residence. Only two people have been accepted by the court. That's myself and my mother. So when I'm not here, my mother has to be with him. He is allowed to go in the yard, in the backyard, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., but has to be accompanied by either myself or my mother.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot speak Arabic. Our phone has to be tapped. He cannot use internet, cell phone, any radio that's connected to any recording. He cannot be seen with anybody with a criminal record or a list of people which we should be provided by CBSA. He can go out up to 12 hours a week. That's three times a week for 4 hours, but has to be pre-approved 48 hours in advance. We need to know where he's going, when he's coming back, who he's going to talk to, and everything has to be obviously accompanied by myself or my mother. All the people who are coming to my residence have to be pre-approved before entering. We cannot let anybody in which has not been pre-approved by CBSA.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, my sisters are not even on this list. I have committee members who have been approved by the court, but my sisters are not on that list yet. And the list is, he can't leave, Ottawa. He cannot go near an airport, a bus station. He cannot go near, he can't rent a car. He can't take a boat. He can't take a canoe. And on and on and on. So he's limited to public transportation or driving his own car. But it's a very, very long list of conditions.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you've also had to fundraise a lot of money as well, I hear.
Oh, yes. On top of that, I forgot that we have to put $35,000 cash. Mm-hmm. And we have almost $100,000 in surety. That means that if Mo were to break conditions, the people listed in the bail decision would have to pay a certain amount, and that adds up to almost $100,000.
Well, that's a lot. So these are a lot of difficult conditions. Can you tell me a little bit about sort of what you and Mo have had to endure during the past few years now as well because of his arrest under the security certificate?
Oh, well, the interview is not long enough to go over all of that, but the first of it would be, I felt from one day to the next that I almost felt like a widow because they took away my husband and no one expected it. And then having to go through the jail system is another issue. Mo was so badly treated the first year. He was in isolation for almost 1 year, 1 week short of 1 year. He didn't have a Quran. He didn't have anything to read for the first 4 months. He didn't go outside for the first 6 months. He didn't get a toothbrush for the first 2 weeks. It was terrible. The first year was just terrible. But as time went by, he gained the respect from the guards and he gained respect for the inmates. But the whole system is just an awful thing to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The injustice is a major factor, obviously, because we haven't seen the evidence and we are in the dark about what the so-called evidence they have against him. That's the major factor. He's haven't had a fair and open trial with access to the evidence so he can defend himself properly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, we've had so many lawyers. I was fortunate to have a lawyer at the beginning, which agreed to do our case, but had no experience whatsoever in national security. We also had another lawyer, which was well known, Rocco Galati, who's currently working on some of the cases of the Toronto Men right now.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, at the time, quit his entire law career on national television. Learned that on national television, just like anyone else. Then finally I found two of the best lawyers in Canada, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
two of the best guys who are also, believe also, Paul Copeland is also an activist for many, many causes, and Matt Weber is one of the best bail lawyers in Ottawa, I would say even in the province. Financially it's been very difficult because I've had to pay legal defense out of my own pocket for the first 2 years and had to fight to get legal assistance because, as you can imagine, the bills are tremendously high. We're talking like over $500,000 in legal defense just on our side. So you can imagine the money that's been spent on the federal side. It's unbelievable. The investigation, all that, we're talking millions upon millions upon millions of dollars just recently with the new facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very hard on my health. I've suffered from backache. I lost my sight for 2 weeks at the beginning. I was so stressed out. I have diabetes. It's been very, very difficult on my health. I've been suffering from migraines often. You know, sometimes I have pain. I don't even know where it's coming from
mm-hmm.
because I'm so tired. You know, it has caused division within the family, within some of the friends. I've had to let some people go because of negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the bad headlines in a newspaper, you know, the papers have not always been kind to us. I would say most of the time the headlines are actually terrible, garbage. We were a newlywed couple when he was arrested. We were 2 weeks short of our second anniversary. And so we've been a couple for 5.5 years now and arguing through a phone and through a window. And because we go through our regular arguments like any other couple, on top of that, he's on a deportation order, which causes tremendous stress, and we can't give each other a hug. We haven't had contact in over 3.5 years. Just recently, I've been able to hug him at the new facility, but it's a very intimidating process because you're surrounded by guards and there's mirrors, and they call that open visits, but it's not really open. I don't call that open.
Yeah.
So for 3.5 years, I used to see my husband at the detention center only twice a week for 20 minutes. That's just as much as I was able to see him. I mean, every single thing of our lives have been affected, every single thing. I have to fight every single day
mm-hmm.
for something for my husband.
Yeah.
Even if it means, you know, representing him, trying to give a face to security certificates, trying to put a human face to that. Sometimes I face people on the street, which are not always kind, but I can't say that it has happened often. But just recently, when the bail decision was granted, I was receiving very upsetting phone calls from someone, obviously, who didn't agree with the decision. Mm-hmm. But in general, I have to say that the overall, it's been very easy to go through this because the support is there. My mom is there. I have a good mother. And I have an amazing committee, mm-hmm. totally amazing committee. And I have amazing supporters across the country. So it's been actually, people, some might not have, really believe in religion or whatsoever, but I'm very thankful. I mean, at one point I said, there is a God somewhere, because without these people, I would not be able to do what I'm doing today.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So can you tell me a little bit about some of the things that are coming up in the next few weeks around Mohammed Harkat's case?
Around our case and around everybody else's case, because we're overloaded. We have so much stuff coming up. So starting on Friday, we have the stay, meaning that the Federal Court of Appeal will decide whether he is granted bail or not until the appeal is heard. That could take weeks, months from now. On the 10th of June, which is a Saturday, we're having a welcoming party here in Ottawa at the Human Rights Monument starting at 5 o'clock. Anybody who's in the area, you're welcome to join us for music and food to welcome the caravan from Toronto and Kingston. They're picking up folks along the road for the Supreme Court week, so we're having a big party with the family members and the supporters from out of town and in the city. On June 12th, we're having a protest at Stephen Harper's office, and we'll be walking down to immigration office afterwards, so we're hoping to get quite a bit of coverage on that as well. All week, we're having a vigil at the Supreme Court. Anybody wants to do a banner, we're hoping to cover the Supreme Court lawn with the banners of support for the families and for the Secret Trial 5. On June 13th, we're having a first day of the Supreme Court, so anybody who's in town can assist. It's all on our website. You can find all the information at www.zerra.net or the Homes Not Bombs website. On the 13th is Adil Shakawi's first day at the Supreme Court, and in the evening we will be having a film night featuring a documentary on security certificates by Alex Sasha Trudeau called Secure Freedom. And so you're invited to join us at St. Paul's University on Main Street in Ottawa starting at 7. On the 14th is Hassan's Amre's day in court. He will be arguing indefinite detention because he's been in detention for over 4.5 years, most of that time spent in solitary confinement. On June 15th will be my husband's day in court, and so we are hoping that people can fill up the courtroom, join us at the Supreme Court for the vigil that's taking place every day from 9 to 5, and also banners to cover the Supreme Court lawn. Come to Ottawa, support the families, donate. Very important, because this is costing a lot of money for the families to come down and, to supply food and billeting for everyone. If you can help in any way, go on our website. And then we'll be waiting for the immigration decision in the meantime as well on whether or not he faced the risk of deported to Algeria, which is obvious that he will, because we've had numerous experts explain it. But the government doesn't seem to listen. There's also the anti-terrorist legislation, which is under review, which I don't know if the reviews will continue, because it seems to me like the parliament is always on vacation, and when we finally get things done, then parliament changes. So it's been a very frustrating process, because we've gone through 3 or 4 different ministers, including security ministers, immigration ministers, so we have to start all over from the beginning every single time. And so you can see that we're extremely busy in the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be waiting for the Supreme Court decision, which could be in our favor or could decide to chop off our heads with all the events that's been happening these days. It makes you wonder if Canada's really fighting the war on terror, or if they're actually stepping over people's rights and these people, if they will be tried fairly, just like the Secret Trial 5, who've never been charged. Mm-hmm. And so all of that is happening in the coming days.
Well, it's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're very busy. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, for those of you who hesitate on supporting the cause, I'd just like to say that, you're entitled to take a position whether or not these men are guilty. As a Canadian, you're entitled to take, a position whether or not you think these people might be guilty. But All we're asking for is that these men have a fair and open trial with access to the evidence, just like in a criminal case where they would be able to defend themselves openly. And maybe not all of the evidence, but so that we have access to informants and CSIS agents who we can cross-examine in an open court. None of these men have asked to be released immediately. We are asking that. Either they be charged with something or that they be released or given a fair trial. These men are saying, you know, I don't want to be released. I know the world is changing. We need to be patient. Just give me a fair trial. That's all they're asking for. The other thing is, if you would be in one of these men's shoes, would you yourself accept the process? I have not come across any honest Canadian who said that they would. Why would it be fair? Because these people are refugees or immigrants. They fled their country because they had very tough life in their country. They came to Canada for a better life, and they end up suffering even more here. I feel my country has betrayed us. They have betrayed these men. Some days I feel so sad that my husband chose Canada for his new life, because he's actually ended up suffering more here. And so we just want these men to have a fair chance. That's all we're asking for. Would you accept the process? I'm sure you would say no. You know, these people are human beings, and all human beings deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and justice is an issue that should concern everyone. If that is what's happening right now in Canada, imagine what can happen 10 years from now. Maybe it won't be Muslim. Maybe it'll be someone else, and they'll come for you, and there'll be no one to defend you because you will have done nothing about this injustice.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sophie.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's been great talking to you.
Okay, same.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.